Number two, put away the foreign gods. Jacob tells his family, put away the foreign gods, the idols, and these articles that were dedicated to idols. Notice that the people even gave him their earrings, and some believe these earrings were like talismans or like amulets. They were connected. They were symbols of paganism. Some of these things may have come from, you know, when Rachel stole the household gods of Laban, and some of them probably came from Shechem when they plundered and looted the city. And so Jacob said, hey, we're getting ready to go have a holy encounter with God. And he tells them, I'm going to go up to Bethel. I'm going to build an altar. I mean, the implication is Jacob knows I'm going to go have an encounter with God, and I can't do it with all this baggage. I can't do it with all this idolatry in my tent. I can't do it with all these foreign gods because it just confuses God. God says, I am Israel's Baal. I am Israel's husband. So who are all these other guys? Can you imagine trying to explain to people that this is your wife if she had half a dozen other guys hanging around on her? That's what it looks like to God when we allow the idolatry of the world to bind itself to us and we carry it along with us. That's why Israel's number one pagan deity that drove them crazy was Baal. It's the Hebrew word Baal. It just means husband. God says, I'm your husband. Who is this other Baal that you are binding yourself to? Guys, if you want to go have an encounter with God, there's some things that are going to have to be put away. Now, I want you to understand that that does not mean that God, if you're struggling with sin and you need to go to God, God doesn't say, you clean yourself up and then I'll accept you. God does bid you to come to him just as you are. But I'm talking to a group of people, I believe the majority of you, who are already born again. I'm talking to the called out chosen people who understand that we have entered covenant in with a holy God, and if we're going to pursue his presence, it has to be done in purity, and some of these things need to be put away. He tells them, purify yourselves and change your garments. When you want to encounter his presence, there's some things that you need to clean up. You know, it's interesting that here in Genesis, on the ascent up to Bethel, God says, purify yourselves and change your garments. When the children of Israel come to the base of Mount Sinai, they will get the exact same commandment. And by the way, the idea of purifying yourself is to go into the water and be immersed. That is the biblical act of ritual purification. And he tells them to do it before they go to Bethel. He tells them to do it at the base of Mount Sinai. And when you go to the temple, I love taking, you know, I wish I could take all of you to Israel. But when we go to Israel, we stand on the southern steps of the Temple Mount. And there they are, the mikvahs, laid out. Because if you were going to go into the Temple Mount, you had to go in and you had to immerse yourself and prepare yourself. You just don't go have an encounter with God the way you want. God told the children of Israel at Sinai, you don't come up on the mountain. This is as far as you can come. Guys, there are limits that he sets in the way we pursue him. He wants us to come in purity and in cleanliness. And I want to throw something out at you. And I know this is, you know, we are the laid back, we are the casual church generation. But I wonder sometimes if we have made a mistake in that. I wonder sometimes if in trying to make the church so accessible to the world that we have forgotten it is a holy convocation. And please understand, I'm not pointing fingers at any churches, and if you were to look at the way I dress sometimes on Sunday morning, yeah, every once in a while I wear the holy blue jeans, you know? But I wonder if we have sung just as I am so much that somehow we have diminished the call to holiness in his presence where we think we can just come in however we want. And that's not biblical. And I wonder if it's that arrogance that sometimes keeps us from having the encounter with God we want because we take all things holy and sacred. I mean, you look at the Bible. I mean, look at the church. For the last 2,000 years, we've been arguing about baptism. As if man has the right to say, well, I know God said this, but I'm going to do this. That's arrogance. God said, I want you to dress modestly. And we keep moving the bar of what modesty is. I'm just wondering out loud. not passing judgment, not making conclusions. I'm just wondering how it is that God could want us to even be aware of the cleanliness of our bodies and the cleanliness of our garments to come into his holy presence, yet those are the very things we think are irrelevant. And I wonder if that's why sometimes we struggle to have a holy encounter with God. Because we're coming to him on our terms. Does this make sense? Now again, understand, just as I am is completely legitimate. God doesn't say, you go get cleaned and forgiven, then I'll let you in. He says, I'm going to clean and forgive you. Verse 3. Jacob says, I'm going up there because God answered me in the day of my distress. Guys, if you want to have an encounter with God, you must pursue it by faith and with a thankful heart. Jacob believed something special was going to happen there because God had met with him there before. He didn't doubt the past experience. And I've already mentioned this, but you know, sometimes we have a hard time entering into his presence because we start doubting the last one. You know, and I got to tell you something. If you've had a great moment and experience with God and you've gone away and you've struggled, it is because of that sin battle in our life. It is not because he is not the holy God you encountered wherever it was you encountered him. Amen? He didn't change. We might have. We might have gone back out in the world and done things we said we weren't going to do and got ourselves all messed up again. But God's holiness is there. And what he said about himself and what he said about wanting us to press in, that hasn't changed. You have to pursue him, believing. You know, I love Jeremiah 29. God says, I will be found by you, declares the Lord. Guys, do you believe that? Or do you believe you're chasing a God who's playing hide and seek with you? Now you say, Brent, that'd be an easy question if this was an evangelistic audience and you were preaching to a bunch of non-believers. But guys, I know in the body of Christ that some of us struggle still with the idea that God is somehow playing a cat and mouse game with us and he's running away from us and we're always trying to catch up with him. I will be found by you, declares the Lord. When? When you seek me with all your heart. If you want an encounter with him, you're going to have to pursue that encounter believing that it can happen. That it is his heart for it to happen, and he is not intentionally putting roadblocks and obstacles in your path to keep it from happening. Though he may be putting some things in front of you to prepare you for when it happens.